Hi, everybody, and welcome to today's Ops SSA call on the 23rd of January, 2012. On the call today, we have Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Mike O'Connor, Jörg Schweiger, and from ICANN staff, we have Bart Bosswinkel and Christina Nordstrom, and apologies from Patrick Jones. That's it.
Thanks, Christina. Welcome, all. We'll keep our fingers crossed that Julie is coming today, and since she's not with us right now, let's switch over to the other item on the agenda. Patrick's not with us, so we still don't have an update from him on the board committee. Unless, Bart, has he talked to you at all about that? Is there any news that you're aware of on that front? You may be muted, or you may not know. Anyway. So let's switch over to meeting planning instead. I've started a little outline of what we want to do in Costa Rica with a few action items. I guess the first question on my mind, I'm assuming that Olivier and Jörg, you guys are scheduling your own update meetings. Is that right? I've been working with Glenn and Wolf on the GNSO side to get a slot for an update to the GNSO.
Yes, I do think so.
Okay.
This is Jörg.
Do you need anything, any help with that, materials in advance or anything? Because I haven't done much on materials yet, but I will if you need something.
As last time, I think I would really appreciate if we could use a common slide deck.
Yeah, I think that's right. I will put a little action item. I now know about the tab key, Olivier. Isn't that exciting? I am so perky about that slide deck. I'll start putting one together. When do you need it by? And Bart, I guess this is also a question for you. Is there any kind of a deadline that we need to hit with stuff? Oh, and Olivier's got his hands up. Sorry, this is such a small call. Just go ahead and jump in, Olivier.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. Just first thing, I did notice that your productivity has dramatically increased since you discovered the tap key, so I'm glad you did. With regards to the slide deck, I totally agree with Jörg. We need, if we could have a small slide deck, although I note that the slide deck I had in Dakar, for some reason, crashed the machine that was just showing the slides and wasn't working well. So it was a bit of my report to the ALAC was a bit of a shambles. So note to myself will be, I guess, to test it out in advance with a computer to make sure that it actually works.
I'll just add that to the list. With the tab key. Oh, I love that tab key. One of the things that I think may be causing that is the way that I built the slide deck, and so I will also try really hard not to put such a gigantic file into it, because I think what was going on was PowerPoint attempting to handle a giant mind map inside that file. And so I'll create the deck a different way. That might help, too.
And what might have happened also is I think that it was running off because it went into Adobe Connect as well. So there was a smaller machine. Staff doesn't use the same whiz-bang, top-notch machine as you do. So it might have overflowed the memory or something, but it just crashed it when it was running the deck in PowerPoint in Adobe Connect.
Yeah, I'll pay attention to file size too, because I'll check when I get off the call so that you guys don't have to watch the screen flickering away. It may be that it was a really big file. You got a good point there. Okay, well, I'll start working on that. Here's what I was thinking I would put in it. Let's talk a little bit about that. I was thinking that we'd sort of have a results section to bring people up to speed on what we've been doing, and also sort of a process update, because I think that the methodology conversation is something that the broader community might be interested in. And I think that our confidential information approach is also something that might be useful for the broader community to know about. So those were sort of the four topics that I was thinking of, the architecture one being some evolved version of that mind map that I started this week, where we're talking about sort of the big pieces of the DNS on one slide. Does that seem like a reasonable pile of stuff for the slide deck? Is there anything else that people would like to see in it? Okay. I'll treat that as a go ahead and keep going. In this same area, then, the other question that was sort of on my mind is, what do we want to try and do in Costa Rica? I am going to be there this time, which makes the meeting a little bit easier to run. Do we want to do much except sort of update ourselves? I mean, is there a piece of work that sort of feels like it would be useful to do together that we might focus in on? I'm thinking that we're sort of settling into a pretty long stretch of doing work on the conference calls, and I don't see any particular value in doing that same kind of work in Costa Rica, but I could be argued out of that. You know, one way to do it would be to just do the same kind of work that we're doing on the phone.
I wouldn't totally agree, Mikey, because I think that it would not be perfectly productive to make just an information session yet again, because I think the different organizations do have loads of time to get updated in the respective scheduled information sessions. So I wouldn't want to just recapture the same thing all over the place for just that very person that might have not attended a specific information session that has been scheduled. So that said, what else could we do? And I think it might be a good thing to do exactly that, and that is go on with the work and do so away and apart from facing each other just by voice, but do it face-to-face so that we can really see each other and see each other's argumenting, so that we go on with trust building. And I think this is one of the major things we might accomplish by having a face-to-face meeting. It's doing some work, but at least in the second row, building trust, which I think is very, very reasonable to think about.
I could get into that. Do you think that So if we do some work, do we do the work as one group, just like we do on the phone calls, or do we split into subgroups? Any thoughts about that? Then there are advantages to each. The advantages to one group is then you only have to run one meeting. The advantage to the smaller groups is that people get to know each other better in the small group, although they don't get to meet and get to know as many people. So it's sort of a choice. I think my first take would probably be to do it as one meeting, partly because it's easier and partly because that's a way for people to meet everybody a little bit. So does that seem agreeable to the rest of you?
Yeah, it's Olivier here. I agree with both of you. I think that, well, I agree totally with not going through the another presentation because we'll all update our own SOs and ACs. With regards to doing it in a big group, I agree with you. I think a big group would be better. It really depends how big the group is. It probably would be better to do it as a round table rather than a classroom arrangement. Simply because the classroom arrangement just gets us scattered all over our room, and then it totally fails to build any kind of trust. The whole point of being face-to-face is actually being face-to-face and not face-to-back. Or back-to-back in some cases, I guess.
The thing I wondered is whether we could actually forecast any part of our future work that would either be tricky or would need face-to-face interaction that couldn't be done using in a conference call or in a way that we've done so far without any trouble. I'm a little concerned about going through a table and putting marks, rating things by saying, well, that's five people say this and four people say that. When in a room, then everyone will be tapping away on their computer. Then there's no real interest in being face-to-face at that point.
Well, I think that there's a really interesting idea here that York sort of hinted at, and I'm going to expand on, and that is that one way to think about this is that we actually do exactly the same kind of work. And so I share my little screen on Adobe Connect, just like on the conference call, and we're all looking at our screens just like we do on the conference calls. But the advantage is that then we can raise our eyes and look and actually see the people who are talking. And so it adds the face-to-face dimension to the meeting, but the meeting itself is identical. And part of the, in addition to sort of seeing each other and watching each other's faces and body language and all that, the other advantage to that is that that means that anybody who's participating remotely has exactly the same experience that they normally have on a call. And so they're not disadvantaged too much. They miss the opportunity to see each other. But they don't have the sort of tremendous disconnect that happened at the last meeting where I was blathering on and the room wasn't with me at all. You know, at least the people participating remotely would have pretty good experience that way. In answer to your question about tricky work that's coming up, I think that we're in the beginning of a pretty long stretch of doing the same thing over and over again. We're going to grind through the threat table. For the non-adversarial threats, we're only about a sixth of the way through it. And so that's, at least several more meetings in a row that we're going to be doing the same thing. And the next piece of work is to tackle the adversarial threat table, which is completely different. So I've just talked myself right into saying the thing that maybe would be a good topic for the face-to-face meeting, which is that tricky transition to the next table. Because in the adversarial threat table, instead of having just the two dimensions that we're looking at right now, the range of impact and the relevance, we're going to have, I think, five. Because it's in the adversarial threats that we get into conversations about things like the capability of the adversary. And so maybe what we ought to do is try to hit our schedule in such a way that we start that process in Costa Rica. I sort of have to look forward and see if that works with our schedule, because that would be kind of an interesting transitional moment. Any thoughts?
I could work with that.
Okay, let me...
I'm sorry, Jurg, I think you were about to say something.
I said something.
I said something as well. I don't know. Who did you hear, Mikey?
I couldn't hear either of you. I just heard
you said great. Thank you.
Yeah. Both of us. We were getting enthusiastic about your post, I think.
Okay. Well, let me... let me use that as an example. And then I'll go look at the schedule and see. A lot of it depends on how fast we get through non-adversarial threats. I don't think I want to wait for Costa Rica if we get done with non-adversarial threats. But intuitively, I think that's about the time we're going to be making that transition anyway. So I'll use my tab key and make a note. Actually, not there.
By the way, Mikey, while you're arranging our slide, Bart, could you elaborate on your suggestions you put down in the chat?
It's more that, say, I think the topic you just discussed is a good one, say, the transition. But in order to, how should I phrase it? Engage the members of the working group, have an idea of what will happen between Costa Rica and Prague and where we're heading. That's my experience with working group is, and especially face-to-face meetings, is okay. It's good to set an expectations of what we will do over the next couple of weeks or months. So that's the first one. That's something the Ops DSSA needs to discuss anyway, say where are we in the process and what needs to happen next. And I also think because we have, to my knowledge, the review team hasn't been resolved or dissolved yet. So they are there, and you've got the board risk committee as well, and they can sit in on the meeting and exchange of views with them as well on how this would fit in with their perspective. So it's a bit more of organizational meeting than anything else.
I'd forgotten about the board committee, Bart. Do you have any insights at all as to where they're at? I mean, I was sort of hoping to have Patrick on the call today.
Yeah, we need Patrick for that. As I said, I don't know, say once this call is finished, I will send a note right away and to Patrick and copy the Ops DSSA. May come up as an opportunity to meet with them, and also what the, and ask him what the status is of the board committee. Because the earlier we get access to the agenda of the board, that's what I know, to the board members, the easier it is to involve them.
Right. Well, I'll put it on our list of, you know, I know that we're going to meet with our respective ACs and SOs, and I know that we're going to meet with ourselves. I've got two kinds of meetings that I've got question marks by, and I think what I'll do is I'll contact Alejandro right after this meeting and see what his thought is about a meeting with the SSRRT. I just don't know where they're at in their process at this point.
Nor do I.
And then I think it's a really good idea to ping Patrick about the board committee. Because, you know, one way would be to invite them to ours. Another would be to meet with them in a different meeting, if, you know, but we really need some insights from Patrick and that committee as to what they'd like to do.
But I think it would be good for the working group itself to meet with them. Otherwise, it will be, again, one of these obvious SSA things.
Yeah. And I think you're right. Let's just put that down as a preference. Because I think that's right. This isn't an ops DSSA thing. This is an all DSSA thing.
It's Olivier here. Would it be possible maybe to have the board committee visit the DSSA face-to-face meeting? Or
yeah, we could always try.
Whatever amount of time it is?
Yeah, well, that was sort of my
again.
First thought.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just concerned about timings. As you know, some of us have got crazy schedules at the time, so finding two sessions, one for the one for the SSA face-to-face and the other one for the meeting, might be a little hard for all of us.
Let's just take that choice out. And that solves this problem, too. I still haven't figured out how to, the keystroke for removing a node, Olivier.
On the PC, it's Control Alt Del. I'm kidding.
That would remove it. It might remove a couple other things, too. But that doesn't
it removes
me.
Your node.
That removes a lot of stuff. Okay. I'm going to shrink this and see if your eyes can handle it. It doesn't look terrible. That way
sometimes format C does the same good thing.
Okay. Julie, are you on the call? I don't see her showing up in the Adobe room. Looks like we're going to miss Julie on this, but I think we've got enough of it. Let me do some work on a slide deck. But I think we've got enough of a sketch as to what we're trying to get done in Costa Rica. Anything else that people want to add to this sketch before we move on to that?
What I wanted to add is that what Bart already raised, I think that while presenting our work in the SOs and ACs, I think it might be a good thing to give an outlook what we're up to next. So what Bart just said, what we are up to between Costa Rica and Prague, I'd integrate that in the information for the different constituencies.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And also include it for the DSSA, say, face-to-face meeting as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that what we will do is sort of build the progress to date deck and try and make it short enough so that in the DSSA meeting we can go through the deck right at the beginning of our meeting as sort of an update. And then, you know, so I'm thinking that the, you know, this is the agenda for the progress slide deck. And this is the agenda for, so let me clarify that.
That's a good idea, because if, say, for argument's sake, and assume the board committee is going to visit the DSSA, it would be good to do this in the at the start, because then they're up to speed as well.
Right. So that's not really an agenda, but it's the start of one. And this is the update deck. So we've got it then in both places, because we can do the I mean, we've got a delicate balance between taking people through stuff that they've seen before, but and, you know, we will have new people in the room. So we'll do sort of a fast run through. Okay, I've got enough to at least crash out a first draft of a few things that people can react to. Any other thoughts? Real quick. Okay. Let me close this out. Somewhere. Oh, there it is. Got sort of two things that I want to get up on the screen. I want to get Julie's draft. Where's Julie's draft? And Katrina's. So the one that I think we need to just briefly touch on is that last one, number 5, in this one, which presumably is in front now. Oh, and I'm blocking the chat. Hold on. Got this all goofed up. Oh, I see why I'm doing this. All right. There. Now I can toggle back and forth. There wasn't much conversation on the list after I commented on this. And I was thinking that maybe we're at the point where now we can say to Julie, go ahead and revise the draft. I think that the instructions that we give to Julie is that these four, the first four, 1 through 4, I can't tell if you can see my highlighting or not, but that those first four comments were good, friendly amendments to the draft, and that Julie should go ahead and work those in. And that the fifth one, we disagree with, for the reasons stated in my note. I didn't listen to the transcript, but I tried to capture what I remembered the sense of our conversation was last week and put it into that reply to Katrina in the list. And the only reactions that I saw on the list were in support of the view of the vouch-in approach rather than the object-out. And so I think that what we need to do is expand that part of the document to include our rationale a bit. And I just wanted to confirm that approach with you all before I launch Julie on that redrafting. I saw Jorg give an agree on that. Is that really what we want to do? To sort of give you your last chance to say, heck no, that's not a good idea.
Mikey, I would totally agree, except for one point. I'm not so sure whether or not we should really give our rationale for the vouch-in approach within the document. Because there's no reason giving for other major decisions within the document. We just have to make sure that we do understand our reasons, that the reasons are transparent, that everybody could go through some notices giving the reasons we had in mind, but I wouldn't want to integrate it in the document because it just makes the document larger and not so focused as it could be without it.
I'm okay with that. The counter argument is that this is a document that may be used by other working groups as a starting point for their confidential information. I've tripped over a couple of other working groups in the GNSO where once this document's agreed to, I would be inclined to share it with these other working groups as a framework that they could use, because we run into this confidential information problem a lot in the GNSO, especially when we're working with registrars and registries on things. And so I was thinking that it would be nice to have just a little bit of a rationale. I agree, not a giant thing, but maybe just a little paragraph that sells it a little. And it may be that it's not in the vouching per se. It's maybe in the preamble of the document. But the reason that I got on this was because Katrina, I think, just didn't see that rationale. And so she came up with this other idea, which I really think the object-out approach is a really unsettling one because it will make the providers of confidential information quite nervous, I think, about sharing it. Whereas the opt-in approach or the vouch-in approach, I think, goes a long way to making them more comfortable, more confident in the process. So how about a compromise that there's just a short touch of a rationale or a goal, and maybe it's in the early part of the document. Would you go for that, York? And, you know, clearly we'd draft it and run it for a review, but would that work okay for you? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It'll work for me.
All right, let me work with Julie on that and see if we can come up with sort of an aspirational goal kind of paragraph right at the front. Actually, let me just see if there's a good spot. This is where I want to switch. Yeah, see, I think in this principles section, would be a good place to put that statement. Something along the line, you know, we want to make sure that people who are sharing highly sensitive information are assured that their information will not find its way out of the subgroup without their permission. That's one of the phrases that I stuck in my little...
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that it isn't... We had two options. One is out and one vouch in, and reflecting the whole discussion within the document.
Yeah, I get it.
If it's just given some rationales in a principles chapter, it would be perfectly with me.
Okay. That's really good feedback. I'll work with Julie on that. And I think it's maybe just a sentence or maybe not much.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as we've got just a few minutes, I want to bend your ear on one last thing, which is... just get rid of that. Get rid of that. And that is this sort of little architecture drawing that I put up on the list. The pause while Mikey is... There's one thing that the free mind thing doesn't do as well, and that is it doesn't let you open recent files. And so as a result, it doesn't let you search either. So as a result, I'm never going to find it.
I've just opened it from your email that you sent out.
Yeah, that's maybe the easiest thing to do. That's probably the best. What did I call it?
Architecture.mm.
Architecture.mm. Oh, that's why it's lost in space. Okay. Let me try again. I should have done this. I didn't realize we were going to have this much time because I thought we were going to have... thought we were going to have Julie on the call and... Sorry. Oh, God. There. Okay. Now we've got it. Now I can share it. Hooray. God, what a thrash. Okay, I've learned a little bit about free mind that I won't bother you with, but at least I've got it now. I'm thinking that this is probably one that will work on the call with everybody on, but I wanted to see if this was right in your view, because it seems to me that basically what we are zeroing in on is a series of threat events that are going to repeat over and over again on all of our threat tree. And it's basically a disruption of the things in green on this architecture is the list of threat events that then we evaluate over and over and over again against a whole bunch of different threat sources. First, non-adversarial ones, the ones we're doing now, and then later, the adversarial ones. And so I think getting that list correct is really quite important, because if we don't get it right, at the beginning, then what we're going to wind up doing is circling back. We're going to go, oh, we forgot that one somewhere down the line. And so we'll have to jump backwards in time a lot. And so it dawned on me that it would probably be worth beating up that list a bit right now. Since we've only done one, it's still relatively painless to go back and fix that first time through the list, whereas if we wait to get this done until we're five or six in, then it's going to be really a painful piece of rework to come back to this. So I just wanted to check with the rest of you to see if that's a fruitful line of conversation, or if it drives you crazy, then I won't do that. But I didn't want to just zoom off into this conversation without checking with you. I don't necessarily want to beat the list up right now. I think that's probably one for the whole DSSA. But I want to check and make sure it's okay to beat this list up on the DSSA call on Thursday. Because I think eventually what we get to is a list of thread events that is a bit less complicated. It's basically a series of statements that say the zone file, you know, a major TLD zone file is disrupted. The DNSSEC for a major TLD is disrupted. The registrar-registrant provisioning for a major TLD is disrupted. And we get less specific about, you know, whether it was a file that was misconfigured or a server that was knocked down. And then we repeat that for minor zones, for the root zone, for the IANA zone, and for the support files. And what I am getting at with the green part is that maybe support files, we just say a support file for the DNS is disrupted. But we don't go into the hints file of the DNS is disrupted. See how I'm trying to narrow the scope with this? And the question marks are whether we need, right now the green ones we have in our thread events inventory. They're not phrased that way, and that's one of the other things I want to talk to the whole group about, is whether we can see our way clear to rephrasing them to that broader language. But then the other thing that I want to ask them about is whether we need to add another thread event, the DNSSEC of the root zone. Because right now we don't have a DNSSEC. I don't even know if there is DNSSEC for the root zone. I presume there is.
Yes, there is.
And I don't know, you know, if there's provisioning for the root zone, whether we want to see the provisioning system, the disruption of the provisioning system of the root zone as a thread event. I think that there probably are, and then I think that the who is zone, you know, the ones that are in white over here, where we've already had a conversation saying we've consciously left these out of the thread events. I think we do the same, but I'm going to put them up just to let people consciously make that choice.
Could you go a little bit more into detail what is meant by zone file access in this context?
Well, I, you know, the question mark is basically the Mikey Clueless question mark. I don't know if there is such a thing as...
Yeah, but we do have it on the left-hand side as well.
Yeah, well, zone file access on the left side I can describe. If you go to the .com, we'll use the .com zone because that's the one I know the best, and VeriSign has an FTP server where if you...
That you do have access to the complete list, to the complete data, and not just by querying who is and
right,
getting one very, very result for a very specific question. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's much less information than who is. It's just the zone. So it's got, you know, just zone file data, not who is data. But and it's in the case of the .com zone, it's pretty big. It's, I don't know, a few gig now. And you can just download it. I mean, you know, there's a little procedure you go to.
I'm with you,
and you get...
Just make sure that I'm on the right track.
Yeah. Well, that's what that is. And I'm not sure if there's an equivalent thing for the root zone or not. I'm sure that Jim, Greg, you know, the geeks are going to be able to tell us right away. But I put it up there because if there is zone file access, I think it's probably a good idea to say, yes, there it is. No, we're not going to consider it as a major threat event because
the list of delegations.
Pardon me? Yeah.
More or less just a list of delegations.
Well, it would be the zone accessible via FTP instead of via a DNS server. Anyway, is it okay with you guys if I mean, it's going to feel a little bit like a sidetrack, but I think it's a sidetrack that will save us a lot of time down the road. And so I just want to make sure that that's okay with you before I do that.
Yeah, this is Olivier. Yeah, consolidating it is a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's also an important part of the methodology, one of the early steps in the methodology that we skipped because we didn't have a methodology when we went through that part of the work, was to draw the architecture of the work that we're doing. And I think that this is a useful scoping exercise, among other things. So, okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for taking that extra detour today. I'll go ahead and stick that on the agenda for the call Thursday.
Nevertheless, I'm going to beat up the list on our DSSA call, just like I did last time. Registrar and provisioning system. I still can't see it, but well.
Just yeah,
be
I
aware
know,
of the fact
no, we
that
did, we did give
coming.
It a pretty good whack. I mean, we basically put it to bed on the list by saying that the you know, the I think we gave it our lowest score.
Yeah.
For range of impact. And so what will happen is that that'll drop out of subsequent pieces of the work because of that low score. Because essentially what happens is we grind our way through all of these evaluations, and then we take stock and we say, okay, subsequently, we're only going to look at the ones where the impact is big, we've seen it before, and then when we get to adversarial threat sources, we'll have things like, you know, can the adversary actually launch this kind of an attack, and so on. So we'll strip it off down the line, and you won't ever see it again, York.
Okay.
I promise.
No,
we won't
no
spend much time
for the reasoning.
Yeah. But I think it's still good because what we can then do is when a registrar comes up and says, well, wait a minute, you know, the provisioning, if that goes away, that's a catastrophe, then we can say, no, it really isn't a catastrophe, and here's why. Because I think one of the things that we'll have to do is we'll have to expand those answers with a bit of a rationale and say, you know, look, if you can't add and delete zones for a day or two or three, it's not going to impact the DNS much at all, even though it's part of the DNS. And, you know, I think it's better to have had that conversation than to just not have it in there at all.
Mission accomplished, Mikey. you put me on break even for Thursday.
Oh, good. That's cool. All right. Well, with that, the long-standing goal of quitting while you're ahead applies, I think it's a good time to end the call.
All right.
So it's great. Thanks, all. And I'll see you on Thursday. And, Bart, you and I have got some actions to go chase some people down. And with that, Christina, I think you can wrap us up. Thanks.